verses 1 through 11. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 11. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the depth and out of the miry bar and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps. A song of praise to our God. Many would see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book, it is written for me. I delight to do your will, O God. Your will is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. You see, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As you can see, the title of my sermon is Sing a New Song. Sing a New Song. The songs have served humanity from their beginning. When we read them, we find that they speak very much to our human condition. Whether we're sad or happy or depressed, they speak to us. The songs are poetic literature used as hymns. The Psalms are quoted in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament book. And they are the most common books found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Psalms 40 is a Thanksgiving psalm believed to have been written by David. God hears our prayers when we are in trouble. God can deliver us like the psalmist and will put a new song in our mouth, a hymn of praise to be shared with the congregation. Our new song is based on praising God for the things that God has done in our lives. This reminds me of the words of a song that says, "This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long." You see, your story is in the song. Sing a new song of deliverance through prayer. But who among us can say, "I waited patiently for the Lord"? When did I ever wait for anything at all without frustration or anxiety? We wait in traffic. We wait for things to get better. We wait in waiting rooms. We are no good at waiting. We want to get moving. We can't bear wasting time. And the clock is ticking. Tick tock, tick tock. While we don't know how things will ever unfold. David waited on God, and God heard and delivered him. This text speaks of prayer. Prayer is the way we commune with God. When we pray, much of our communication is spoken or in thought, and petitioning and lamenting and speaking. I would guess we could spend more time waiting and listening to God. The more time we spend in silence, waiting and listening to God, the more we will hear from the Holy Spirit. There is so much noise in our ears and our minds that we don't even recognize. Noise and distractions such as the news, other TV programming, social media, cell phones, car radios, podcasts, music. Have I left out anything? Don't get me wrong. God can be in all these things, but can we hear him speaking to us? I recognize if we turn off all these things, we still might not hear. But let's consider the best environment for us to wait in God's presence. As a result of David's prayer, he was delivered out of the pit, which could be seen metaphorically. Some believe he was running for his life, and this had taken place several times in his life. Not the best news, right? We will need to be delivered over and over and over again. This pit is different for each and every one of us. Sometimes our community can be in a pit, and even our nation. Could the pit catch us with attitudes? It seems our attitudes toward each other have changed, and it has not been for the good of our society. It feels like we could sing a new song rather than the old song of difference, disagreements, and conflict. Howard Thurman, an African-American mystic, offers to us the love ethic in his writing called Keep Open the Door of Thy Heart. He says, we are accustomed to thinking that one man's attitude toward another is a response to an attitude. The formula is neat. Love begets love. Hate begets hate. And indifference begets indifference. Often this is true. But the relation between humans is not that mechanical. There is something that is profound when man discovers that he is able to keep open the door of his heart. This is one's ultimate responsibility, and is not dependent upon whether the heart of another is kept open for him. Here is the mystery. If sweeping through the door of my heart, there moves continually a genuine love for you, it bypasses all your hate and all your indifference and gets through to you at the center. You are powerless to do anything about it. You may try, but any bitterness cannot get through to me. It is utterly impossible for you to keep another person from loving you. You may reject it, or you may try to close every opening in your own heart. It will not matter. Thurman says the word love is stronger than hate and goes beyond death. It is the great disclosure to one who has found that when he keeps not how many doors are closed against him. Verses 4 through 10 compose the hymn of praise, the new song by the writer. He describes the wonderful things that God has manifested in his life. This is his testimony. I would say he is telling it like it is, sharing how God has brought him through, carried him over, walked with him through the valley of the shadow of death. That is God's story through his story. That is God's story through your story. You see, God is working in his people and for his people. These are his works, the creation, providence, redemption, and all the work that he does with grace and mercy. And then there are other wonderful works that are diverse. The tender mercies we see each morning and how our needs are met. Every blessing, even the least, represents some kind thought in the mind of God loving us. God thinks of each one of us in every moment. If we could see all the blessings of God to us and his wonderful works created for us individually, they would be countless as the sands. And all these countless mercies represent countless thoughts in the mind and heart of God to each one of us. Sharing a little bit of my testimony, I have been blessed beyond my imagination. You see, I wake up most mornings in my right mind. I was blessed with good parents, good grandparents, good siblings. Growing up in rural Alabama, we were poor but rich in love. Somehow my parents had the mind to ensure that I got a good education. And then there's my husband and my children. I used to stand up at watch night and tell people that the husband that God sent to me is better than the husband that I thought I could ever have. The children that God has sent to me are better than the children that I could ever imagine. And also through a roundabout way, God brought me to Knoxville College, a Presbyterian college. And through that college and through that road and the mix and the curves and those places has brought me here to you. God even brought me through the flu 2 weeks ago. Sing a song for God's call on your life. Because the factual evidence of God's working, David picked up the mantle of servanthood when he says, "Here I am." And he becomes a witness, vowing not to restrain his lips. "Here I am," are the words Isaiah responds with when God calls him. Psalm 40 is a psalm of Christ and quoted by the apostle and applied unto Christ in Hebrews 10. You see, we are called to servanthood. The Isaiah text tells us that God called us while we were still in the womb. Now, we knew babies could hear, but could it be possible that they not only hear us, but they hear God as well? We all have a purpose on this earth, and what you bring is personal to you. It is a benefit to God and to those you serve. This weekend, many are reminded that Dr. King was called to servanthood as he espoused in his speech the drum major instinct. And he says, "Every now and then, I guess we all think realistically about that day when we will be victimized with what life's final common denominator is. And that is something called death. We all think about it. And every now and then I think about my own death and I think about my own funeral. And I don't think of it in a morbid sense. And every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I will want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. He says, if any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then, I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I don't like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for someone to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. And I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. And then this song comes and it says, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my life will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your side, your right side, or your left side, not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side, not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition. But I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth and in commitment to others so that we can make of this old world a new world. So my friends, as you step into the new decade, beginning with 2020, sing a new song. Sing a new song of deliverance. Sing a new song of prayer. Sing a new song to God for all of his blessings. Sing a new song for God's call on your life. Sing a new song of servanthood. Let us pray. Now the ruler of all worlds, undying, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory in our lives. And let all the things that spoke to our hearts today be so.